Good evening, everyone. Welcome. This is District 57 Board of Education regular meeting for March 21st, 2019. It's 7:01, and Virginia, would you please take the roll?
Member Cho?
Here.
Member Compasto?
Here.
Member Kobus?
Here.
Vice President Kowalczyk?
Here.
Member May?
Here.
Member McCluskey? President
Sonnenfeld? Here. So we'll move right to communications. The first item is the NSSCO report. Who's doing that?
So I'll do.
Vicky?
Yes, Brian was sick, so I took his place as
Thank
the alternate
you.
At NSSCO. So their last meeting was Wednesday, March 6th. This month, there were two shining stars honored, Megana, who's a student at Kirk School, and Gloria, who's a NSSCO staff member. So Megana was recognized for her increased independence in completing her pre-employment routine, so just being able to finish some of her work tasks on her own. And Gloria works in the vocational department at Kirk, and she actually worked with Megana to help her master her tasks. And one very cool thing I want to share about that is that, so I guess Gloria is very humble. She doesn't like to be in the spotlight. So the NSSCO staff did not tell her that she was receiving a Shining Star Award that night. So Gloria came just thinking she was there to support Megana. So when they announced Gloria's name, she was shocked. She was crying. Everyone was crying. And then NSSCO, the staff announced that, you know, they had told Gloria's family, oh, Gloria's going to win the award. You know, come. And then Gloria's son flew out from Columbia to be at that meeting, and Gloria didn't know. So they announced, you know, congratulations, Gloria, and by the way, your son is here from Columbia. And then he stood up and back, and everyone's bawling. Yeah. So it was amazing. So
another typical meeting.
Right. It was incredible. Yeah, everyone was in tears and cheering. So it was very touching. I also want to quickly share that NSSCO had their second annual legislative roundtable on March 8th. So there were five legislators there, Ann Gillespie, Mark Walker, Michelle Mussman, Laura Fine, and Jonathan Carroll. Adam Parisi and Mary Gore from our district also attended. So we sat at a table with Representative Mussman to talk about the needs of students transitioning into adult life. So employment needs, housing, transportation, ongoing services. I'm sure Brian's gonna share more at our next meeting, but it was very eye-opening and informative. And one final thing I want to mention. So as you know, normally our district, District 57, discusses the NSSCO budget next meeting, at our April meeting. However, because of their upcoming program changes with Kirk and Minor, they mentioned that for them, developing the FY20 and NSSCO budget is going to take a little longer because they have to incorporate those costs. And so I believe NSSCO is going to present their FY20 budget at their May meeting, not next month. So that means for us, we'll likely discuss the NSSCO budget in May rather than April, and then we'll approve it in June. So just pushing it back next month. So I just wanted to mention for Dr. Allmiller, when you and Joe set the April agenda, you should probably check in with Brian to make sure that we are discussing the NSSCO budget in May and not April. And their next meeting is Wednesday, April 3rd at 7.
Okay, thank you. And Ed Foundation report?
Okay, yes. So Ed Foundation, they met last week, Tuesday, March 12th at Westbrook. So information about their spring grant has been distributed to all the schools. The application deadline is April 15, and grant decisions will be made at their May 8th meeting. So information about the grants has also been distributed in all four schools' newsletters to help encourage parents to apply for a grant to benefit the school. So parents are encouraged to contact their school's principal if they're interested in submitting something. But the main focus of the meeting was on their upcoming Great Gatsby Gala, celebrating their 20th anniversary. It's in 2 weeks, Saturday, April 6th, 6 to 11:30, at Victoria in the Park. So foundation members are busy soliciting event sponsorships, and silent auction donations. As of last week, 85 tickets were sold. And I'll just tell you, the event's going to begin with a cocktail hour upstairs. Guests will come downstairs for dinner. They're going to have games, silent auction, a live auction, and then music and dancing after dinner. They have a very fun surprise planned during their cocktail hour, which I won't say now, but I just want to encourage everyone to buy tickets and attend. And deadline for ticket sales is April 1st. And their next meeting is Tuesday, April 9, 7 o'clock at Westbrook.
Great, thank you. We have PTO reports. Anyone? Dennis?
Thanks, Joe. I attended the meeting yesterday at Westbrook. Westbrook's PTO meeting is usually on the third Wednesday of each month, and they're happy to have guests and parents from the Westbrook students. Mary Gore, the principal, discussed the week's newsletter and the importance of the newsletter to parents, and remind parents to review the newsletter, because in this newsletter Friday, there'll be a questionnaire and a solicitation for feedback on their students and the experience that the students had in the previous year. And that will help with classroom assignments for the next year. Westbrook strives for a classroom balance with diversity of students, different types of students. They're not keeping all the students in one category, the students that excel or the students that don't do as well in class. They mix all their students, and they work hard to keep a good mix and diversity in each classroom. The STEAM night was a success. There were over 400 students at the STEAM night. Spirit orders are going to be extended through April 3rd. So if anybody wants to get any of the Westbrook Spirit wear order, you can order on the PTO Westbrook website. There was an interesting discussion about the Westbrook Spring Connection event. They were talking about possibly having an outdoor movie, then picnic in the park. They're still discussing, given some logistics. The theme for staff appreciation is going to be Music Through the Decades, and it starts May 6th, and it goes to the end of that week. And they're going to have the 6th being the 60s, the 7th be the 70s. Sounds very exciting. The PTO is going to be having their elections and looking for more parents. They're very interested. And if you have any interest in being a PTO member at Westbrook, you can email ptowestbrook@gmail.com.
All right. Thank you. Eileen.
I was at Fairview's PTO meeting. They had recently had their science fair on Tuesday the 26th, and that went very well. They also had their fun fair, I believe it was the same night, March 9th, was it? And that also went very well here. Their family hoops night was just the other day on Tuesday, the March 19th. They also have this Posh Tots, which is they donate the clothes and stuff, and so far they recently made $471 that goes to the PTO, and they've almost made $1,000 this year just on that program. And one of the board members on the PTO, she kind of runs it, and she takes care of all of it, so it's really easy for everybody just to donate clothes, and then she does the resale. They have a upcoming dine and share on Tuesday, April 16th from 5 to 7 at Chick-fil-A. They have, they're trying to figure out a volunteer recruitment night, and I think they're going to be figuring that one out, whether it's going to be at here at the school or if it's going to be at one of the board members. They have their staff appreciation also starting on the week of the 6th of May. Plant sale is Saturday, May 11th, and the fine arts night is the end of the season, Wednesday, May 15th, and they will have a concert and the art of the artwork of all the kids around the school. They are looking for chairs, I believe, for science fair, and the newsletter room rep needs a chair. They might be set on their chairs for president, co-president, but you can always get in touch with them. But I think they actually might be set on everybody up there. And that is it.
Okay, great. And Vicki.
Yes. So Lions Park PTO, their last meeting was Monday, March 4th. So first, thanks to the huge success of their Roar and Run fundraiser, the PTO is in the very fortunate position of having a surplus of funds, which they're trying to spend on. So one thing that they did is they contributed $5,000 to help purchase a new sound system at Lions Park. And they're also planning to buy a poster maker for their teachers and staff. Also last month, Lions Park celebrated Kindness Week. So each day, students dressed up in a different way to highlight messages of kindness. So for example, on one day, the theme was Nothing Beats Team Kindness. And then students wore sports apparel or spirit wear. So they also wrote lists of 10 kind deeds that they could do, and they made Valentine's Day cards for nursing home residents. In addition, as everyone knows, the IAR, Illinois Assessment of Readiness, has replaced the park. So for the past couple weeks, Lions Park students in grades 3 through 5 have been taking the IAR in math and ELA. They actually just finished yesterday, and then any makeup test will happen after spring break. And then finally, their STEM fair was earlier tonight. It was 6 to 7 o'clock. They had over 100 participants. Each participant received a medal and a certificate and a ribbon. And then also to encourage participation, the PTO gave a special prize, I think books, to the students in the class with the highest participation. And their next meeting is Monday, April 1st at 7.
All right, thank you. All right, thanks everyone. So the next item is a board president report, and mostly what I want to cover is just the upcoming meetings in April. Next week is spring break, and when we come back starts the mad dash to the end of the school year. There's a lot happening. So I think we discussed this at the last meeting, but I just want to reiterate these dates. So we're going to change the date that we had tentative for April 4th and push it back to April 11th. That will be a closed session meeting dealing with superintendent evaluation. So you're gonna get the materials in closed session tonight, and I'll need you, and we'll talk more about exactly what you need to do, but you'll need to return those to me by Friday, April 5th, so that I have a chance to aggregate that, those different forms into one, and then we can review it at our closed session meeting on the 11th. That's scheduled at the regular time, right? 7 o'clock. On the 18th will be a regular board meeting, and then also at that time we'll have another closed session to finalize the superintendent evaluation, whatever changes that we decide we want to make on the 11th, I'll have, and we should have the final evaluation for Elaine on the 18th. And that'll be a regular board meeting as well. Thursday the 25th is scheduled for board reorganization. And that's contingent on the county certifying the election results in fairly short order after the election. But once the election is certified, I think we have 4 weeks, 28 days. So, you know, in past years, you know, that's ended up kind of running into late April or early May. We just thought that to put it on the calendar now, April 25th, I imagine the county should be able to certify the election results, you know, within a week after the election, and then we'll have our date set, and we can go ahead and do that on the 25th and have the board reorganization. So any candidates out there that, you know, in the event that you're elected, April 25th would be the date you'd be seated. And that would be really the only purpose of that meeting, is to have board reorganization. And so it would be a fairly short meeting on April 25th, special meeting for that purpose. Okay, so does anyone have questions about the schedule? All right.
So I will not be there on the 11th.
Oh, that's right. Are we going to be able, will you be able to call in and participate in the discussion?
Yeah, that works, that could probably
yeah, that would be helpful. Okay, I'll keep that in mind. So then we'll go on with community comments. This is the first opportunity for community comments in our meeting, and we are appreciative and want to welcome anyone who wants to address the board. I just want you to know that if you have questions, I may not be able to give you a complete or fully accurate answer at this time. so we might need to follow up with an answer. And if you want to save time, if you have a question, you could submit it in the back on the card and put your contact information and someone will follow up with you. Otherwise, approach the microphone and let us know who you are and welcome.
Hi again. You're probably tired of seeing me. Stan Konecki, longtime Lyons Park resident. The purpose of my visit tonight is to talk a little bit about the Maple Street Loft project and the impact on schools that I'm part of a group of residents who are not in favor of the project as it's proposed now. We just feel it's too big, it's too dense, and creates a lot of problems, including that for the schools. One of the things that there's a couple of things that has to do with student population for a development. One is the TIF and the payments that are required by statute for incremental students that impact the schools. And then secondly is just the estimate of the number of students that will be coming into the school district. The builder uses a number that is created by one of their associations that they follow, and it's not unusual for projections to include these estimates. And in the estimates that we have, and things have changed over the last 6 months, not a lot, not enough, but they've changed, but they estimated 24 students in that project, 19 to District 57, and 5 to District 214. We just felt that number was a little bit low, so we thought we'd do a little bit of our own research. Again, we're not statisticians, we're not researchers, but it's a pretty practical way for us to look at it. What we did was we incorporated more of what Mount Prospect attracts in terms of families, and because of the quality of the school districts, we feel that you should be looking at Mount Prospect statistics and not some builder average. So what we did is we contacted your office, Dr. Allmiller, and we got the student population of surrounding townhomes in the immediate area of the Maple Street Lofts, and we looked at those properties, and those properties are 2 and 3 bedroom properties. So what we did is we took the number of students per 2 and 3 bedroom units and then extrapolated that to the projections for the Maple Street Loft. Pretty practical. I'm sure some statistician would find error in that, but to me, that's current, it's market data, and it's Mount Prospect. So what we found is overlaying that in the projections is the student population wouldn't be 24 students, it'd be closer to 50 students. And that number for District 57 would be 38, not 19. Okay, again, these are estimates. And also as a reminder, this project right now, and it's gonna get approved by the board, but is gonna be phased in. So there are two large apartment complexes, one of which will be immediately constructed, and then the second one is a phase in. So that might not happen till a year or two later. But at the end of the day, the message is that it's a real crucial number. And we couldn't convince the Planning and Zoning Commission at how important that number is. The difference of 19 to 38 to you, and you folks realize that. And in particular with Lyons Park at capacity the way it is. So that's just food for thought for your planning and for your discussions with the village. And also, again, if you're interested in talking about the development or have your opinions about the development, please go to the village board meeting. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, we'll move on then with the staff reports. Oh, is there someone else who would like to? Please. Yeah.
Okay, good evening. This is my first time coming to a school board meeting. My name is Amy Gonzalez, and I live in the Lions Park neighborhood. Currently, I have a toddler at home, but she will, in a few years, be going to Westbrook School for Young Learners, and then eventually she'll be going to Lions Park Elementary and hopefully on to Lincoln and District 214. So I am very happy to be a resident of Mount Prospect and very happy to be a resident of the school district. I've heard nothing but wonderful, great things about the school district, and I've heard this school district described as a treasure, as a gem. And I attended actually a meeting in this room, I want to say about a year, maybe a year and a half ago, when the referendum was originally proposed, and it's one of its first iteration. And I sat in this room and I listened to a lot of professional people explain how wonderful the school district is and how there was a need for funding, an increased need for funding from the residents. And I have to admit, at first I was against it, because I thought, I already pay, you know, a certain amount of taxes and I don't want to pay more. But then as I started talking to my neighbors and I started talking to other people in the community and I listened to teachers here who were here that night, that kind of changed my mind. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to come out tonight. I don't want to take too much of your time, but I think if we talk and listen to our neighbors about things that are going on in the community, oftentimes we might have a different perspective or learn about something that we didn't know about originally, and that's something that's been going on in my life. About 6 months ago, I attended an open house forum for the Maple Street Lofts. It was at Mrs. P and Me's, the restaurant, and it was a really rainy night, so I didn't really get a chance to really talk to a lot of the developers and the people that were there. I think I saw the mayor there and some people from my street. I live on Lewis Street. And so I really I saw the posters and I got some information. It was hard to tell who was in charge, who was sharing the information, who was like the point of contact person. So it was difficult to get a sense for what was going on. And then all of a sudden I found out about this zoning meeting that happened last week. And I thought, oh my gosh, this thing is on the fast track. It's happening. So I went to that zoning meeting and I sat through there. It started at 7 and it ended at 11:30. I spoke at that meeting. I was extremely nervous. I never did anything like that before in my life. But I heard a lot of concerns from community members, particularly in the Lions Park area. So I would just like to voice to you some of my concerns, being a parent, being a future mom of a student who will be in your district, and also just being a general resident and community member. I think that there will be an increase in students will have an impact on school enrollment. Westbrook, Lions Park Elementary, and Lincoln. I think this is gonna have an impact on the student-to-teacher ratios. One of the things about the referendum was that was supposed to, I think, hold student-to-teacher ratios at a certain level and prevent it from going up to a level that was a concerning level. I don't remember the statistics, but we passed that referendum as citizens of this community to keep our schools at a certain standard, to keep our student-to-teacher ratio at a certain standard, and I feel like this development is gonna have a negative impact on that. One thing that Stan didn't mention was that there are apartment buildings that are planned. I think it's a total of 192 apartments. They're gonna be focused on efficiencies, one bedroom and two bedrooms in terms of the apartments. But the thing that I think is gonna generate a lot of students is the 56 townhomes. The townhomes are gonna be three-story townhomes. They're gonna have, from what I understand, two bedrooms with an option for a den, or you can get a design that has the three bedrooms. And then also there's gonna be, I think, a room in the basement. I don't know if that could technically be a bedroom, but it could be a three-bedroom townhouse. So there also, because of this development, with the amount of residences that are proposed for that area, there will be, I believe, a lot more traffic around Lions Park and potentially Lions Park Elementary. I'm most concerned about streets near where I live, because I see those as cut-through streets. Currently, they're streets that I use as cut-through streets. That's why I have concerns about them being cut-through streets, like William Street, East Council Trail, to some extent, Shaboni, I think, could be a cut-around street, which actually goes, I think, right by the side of the school. And I think about that. I think about the children walking to school. A lot of kids in that area walk to school and ride their bikes, which I think is awesome. I never had that opportunity as a student. I always had to ride the bus 45 minutes to school. By the time I got to school, I did my math homework. You know, the kids are going to be riding the their bikes and walking, and I was wondering if the board has any concerns about that. And as a parent, I think that there could be a potential need for crossing guards in the future. And I don't know if that's something I really am naive about school boards and schools and how things work, but I don't know who pays for that when a crossing guard is needed. I don't know if that's a volunteer. I don't know anything about how that works, but I just want to put that out there, that might be a potential unintended consequence of this development. And the school drop-off and pickup is already kind of a jam on East Council Trail, and the new residents might be running into that as well as they motor around the streets. And let's see. I just think that, and I heard you all speaking about the parent-teacher meetings, and I don't know if that would be I don't know if that would be an appropriate forum, but I really think that the parents and the teachers and the administrators need to be informed about how this could potentially impact them and impact their students. And I don't know if there's any way to spread the word, but I think that folks need to be informed about this, and that is happening, and it's probably going to be developed in our community. So thank you for your time, and thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. You know, I'm gonna take a moment, because I know that there's a lot of concern about potential development and how it'll affect District 57. Excuse me. So I want everyone to know that District 57 has been in close communication with the village since the beginning of this process, even before the TIF was implemented. And our administrators are in constant communication with the village when plans are changed, you know, discussing about what the potential effects could be on the school district. And, you know, a lot of it is unknown. We can estimate anywhere, you know, from 19 to 38 new students in the district. How that affects our staffing needs or classroom needs at Lyons Park is really going to depend on the age range of those children. You know, if all the children that move in are Westbrook students, you know, then we're gonna have maybe some space issues at Westbrook, and maybe the Lyons Park, you know, the implications for Lyons Park would come further down the line. If the students, so again, you know, without knowing the age of the students, that's just as important as how many students there are. We are preparing, though. We have already budgeted a certain amount of money to expand Lyons Park School, should that be necessary. Do you see the construction fencing outside of Fairview here? We'll be adding 4 new classrooms to this building this summer. And we could potentially add 2 to 4 more classrooms at Lyons Park should the need arise. And we just acquired additional property adjacent to Lyons Park parking lot. So our hope is to expand the parking lot and to allow for traffic, drop off and pick up, to come into the parking lot and try to alleviate some of the traffic jam that happens on Council Trail, okay? So these are all things that we're working on. You know, how it's all gonna shake out, you know, it's always a moving target, you know, but I just want everyone to know that this board is engage closely. We're aware of what's transpiring, and I don't think, you know, the board's never felt it's important to take a position, you know, for or against development. You know, in the long term, development is going to ultimately be, I believe, and I'll speak for myself here, you know, it's going to be a benefit to the entire community, including benefiting the school district, because in the long term, you know, those properties are going to generate tax money, you know, that's going to come back to the school district. So in the short term and during the life of the TIF, we're just going to do the best we can to adapt. And thankfully, because the referendum passed, we have money budgeted to expand Lyons Park should it be needed. And I lost train of thought. There was something else another point I was going to make. But you know, we're going to do, you know, do what's necessary to continue, you know, to make sure that the residents of Mount Prospect have a quality school district and that we can deliver services to all the children that come through our doors. So, you know, please, continue to, communicate with us when you have concerns. If you hear something through the grapevine, you know, that you think that we should know. But just know, that there are plans in place to deal with, what other changes are going to be coming here to this community. Okay? Thanks. So we're going to go on now with staff reports, and the first is the superintendent's report.
I have one FOIA to report. We received a request on February 28th from Selena Garcia. She requested the contract the district has for outsourced vendor custodial services. We responded to her on March 5th and informed her that our current custodial services are provided in-house and that our custodial staff are district employees. The only other thing under staff reports and superintendent's report is in your packet was a memo from Cassie regarding the professional development plan update. And I simply said that if you had any questions or comments, we'd be happy to entertain those. At the present time, there is no formal presentation on this topic.
I don't have a question specifically on the updated professional development plan, but I do know that a couple weeks ago, the district held a half-day training for the staff and teachers on restorative justice. Mm-hmm. So I would just love to hear maybe, Cassie, like a short recap of, what was discussed and how the training went.
Yeah. So on March 8th, our staff participated in building-based professional development on restorative justice. And as I'd mentioned to the board earlier this year, we have had some ongoing training in this area. We've got a committee of all of our administrators, social workers, psychologists, and then a representative group of teachers that have been participating in ongoing training. And restorative justice is really a mindset that values relationships at the center of community life. And it's built on the premise that when we focus on relationships and we can really proactively build relationships, but then also repair relationships when harm occurs, which is also just a natural part of that community life. And so this was our first opportunity to really kind of start introducing some of these concepts to our staff. So the committee facilitated professional development around an introduction to restorative justice, but also the primary focus was on community building circles. And so circle practice is a really important part of restorative practices, and there are a variety of different circles. They're all kind of structured the same way with different goals. And so community building circles are really an opportunity to build relationships. And so it's a proactive strategy that allows it allows a group of people to get to know each other better, to form bonds together. And so this was something that our staff did. And I think the feedback that we received was incredibly positive. Staff were really excited for the opportunity to get to know each other on a little bit deeper level. They're excited to start bringing these practices back into their classroom, as well as to continue to learn a little bit more about restorative practices.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. I'm going to return to my comments about the development, because I remembered what I wanted to say, the other point I wanted to make. And that is that, there was a very deliberate, it was deliberate that the Lyons Park campus and the Lyons Park School were included in the TIF district. And that is to give those entities, the Park District and District 57, some flexibility in working with the village to possibly at some point in the future repurpose the land within the TIF district to serve the community's needs. So meaning, should a lot of additional students at Lyons Park result in extra traffic and we need to reconfigure how traffic moves, maybe we need to put a driveway in somewhere or, you know, otherwise repurpose land within the TIF district, working with the park district and with the village, that's a possibility. And TIF funds may be even available. Now, no promises were made because, again, you know, how this is going to shake out and what the school district and those developments are going to look like 10 years from now, nobody can say specifically. But should needs arise, the flexibility to do that within the TIF district is there. And, you know, the school district, the board and the administration has their eyes on the ball in that regard. And we've had a good communications, good relationship with the park district and the village. And I feel confident, you know, again, that the community and the school districts will come out even in a better place in the future, you know, as a result of the development, which has been needed for a long time in and around the downtown area of Mount Prospect. So that's just the other point I wanted to make. Now we'll move on to the consent agenda. So we have 7 items on the consent agenda. The first one is the minutes of both open and closed session meetings on February 21st, and Brian May was absent for that. So we'll pull that item to vote on separately. Are there any other items? Brian, you also reviewed the financials?
Yes.
And? Okay, great. Any other items? We have the revised calendar here. We're adding days onto that. And the final item is a resolution to authorize Adam to represent the district in the closing on the mailing drive property. That's a property I mentioned earlier adjacent to Lyons Park School. Any items to pull? Then can I have a motion on the first item?
Motion to approve the minutes of the following Board of Education meetings, regular business meeting, February 21st, 2019, open and closed session.
Second.
Member Chung?
Yes.
Member Compasto?
Yes.
Member Kobus?
Yes.
Vice President Kowalczyk?
Yes.
Member May?
Abstain.
Member McCluskey?
Yes.
President Sonnenfeld?
Yes. And then a motion on the remaining items on the consent agenda.
I'll go for it. Motion to approve, am I on? Yeah. Motion to approve personnel transactions, goals 5B and 6A. Do I need to read the sub-bullets?
Yeah.
Sure.
Sub-bullet 1, approve a 1-year leave of absence for one certified employee. Second, accept the resignation of one certified employee. Accept the retirement of one certified employee. Approve the employment of 3 ESP individuals. Financial reports for February 2019. Accounts payable bills. Approve revised 2018-2019 school calendar. Approve contract for auditor services. Approve resolution 190-321, authorizing assistant superintendent for finance and operations to execute documents necessary to complete purchase of Moling Drive property.
Second.
Member Compasto?
Yes.
Member Kobus?
Yes.
Vice President Kowalczyk?
Yes.
Member May?
Yes.
Yes.
Member Chung?
Yes.
President Sonnenfeld?
Yes. We have no unfinished business items, so we'll go right to the second opportunity for community comments. If there's anybody who would like to share their thoughts with the board, please do so at this time.
Joe, could I ask a question about the comment that you made with the Maple Street?
Sure.
So at the
I may not be able to answer it.
No, that kind of question. So at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, a couple of the commissioners had asked, you know, so what does the board, school board think? What's their position? And, you know, it was kind of vague. And so I don't know. I mean, I know we generally don't comment, but like listening to your comments, and this is sort of a non-comment comment, but even just to say, you know, the school board neither opposes nor supports the Maple Street Lofts, but is in close contact with the village, you know, just to have something because, you know, it seemed like the commissioners were really wanting to hear something from the board. And I just want to say also, I mean, I thought Stan's research was very compelling about the numbers. And, you know, I agree, you know, we absolutely cannot predict with any accuracy what will happen. But, yeah, I mean, I thought those numbers of 30 to 40, possibly 30 to 40 District 57 students versus the 19 provided by the developer, not that the developer came up with it, they're using a different set of numbers that are trusted but old. So, you know, for me personally, I am a little bit, you know, concerned how it will affect enrollment, although again, I know we can't really say, but I was just curious if the board wanted to have that sort of statement or if you don't feel like there's the need to say. I could go either way.
What sort of statement?
You know, that the board neither... what does the school board think?
No.
You know, even just to say that the school board neither supports nor opposes the developments, but we are in, you know, our administration is in whatever regular contact with the village. So then,
yeah. I mean, that's it. And you know, quite frankly, I watched a little bit of the video link of that meeting, and the village official that was answering the questions was it Irby? Bill Cooney. I was really surprised to see him say that, you know, he had no idea, or that, you know, they haven't heard anything one way or the other from District 57. I mean, you know, it's silly. You know, for that matter, even the people on the commission themselves. I mean, you know, Adam Parisi is in close contact with Michael Cassidy, you know, regarding the development and the implications for District 57, and he keeps us up to date. So, you know, our job isn't to take a political position for or against development, you know. If the, you know, Mount Prospect community members, you know, feel compelled to do that, then that's great. You know, our job is to prepare this district for the future, you know, however that may look, you know, not necessarily to try to control what, you know, what the future is going to look like, but prepare, you know, the school district to be able to deliver services. So that's how I see it. Anyone else want to comment on that? Because Dennis.
I just think it's important that the future boards monitor the development on an ongoing basis, because as the properties are developed and completed, there's going to be new students entering the system, and you'll be able to adjust your formulas for how many students you're going to have based on once the project starts completing and units are people are starting to occupy some of the units. So it's important. The board should probably track on at least bi-monthly basis at each of the meetings to see, you know, how many units have been completed, and when those units are completed, how many students are entering the system. Because if you wait until the end, it's going to be too late. So there's a monitoring process, I think, that we have to go through. The statistics are going to be the statistics, and there's probably a low range, which I believe the developer's following, and then there's going to be a high range. But we're not going to know what the actual number is until we start seeing the students come into the system. So it's very important for the board to monitor.
Okay.
Plus, this is just the start of all development, because the police and fire are moving, so there's going to be something new there. They're putting something over at Main and Central, and they're finishing up or, you know, still working and building that project that's in that little triangle area by the Brick City Station 34, so.
Yeah, and there's buildings going up. I think the first ones that'll be completed are the ones next to the post office on Elmhurst Avenue.
Yep.
And those would be students that would attend Fairview.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, just, you know, as these units come online, as Dennis said, you know, it's important for the district to monitor, and you know, how many children are we seeing coming, from these places. I definitely think that the figures that the developer provides are lowball numbers, especially when you consider that, many folks who would want to move into Mount Prospect will move in because of the schools. So they're going to, probably bring one or two little ones with them if they get into a two or three bedroom unit. You know, I wouldn't surprise to see a single parent moving into a two bedroom unit with, one or two children. So that's, or, you could have a divorced couple where one of the parents moves into District 57, just so they can bring, have the students attend here, if they have a 50-50 custody arrangement. So there, absolutely. I mean, I don't have blinders on with this. I think it's a low ball number that the developer provides, and the gentleman's estimates, I wouldn't be surprised if they're much closer to the real number. But again, just as much as the number of students, it's important of what the age of the students is going to be, and that's something that is hard to predict. So, yes, Brian.
I know that we've discussed previously the prospect of potentially persuading the developer to make concessions, financial concessions, for the benefit of District 57, given the unknowns, given the potential strains that the development could have on our district. Have we gotten any traction, or
could you explain specifically that that notion was raised several months ago, and the fact is that when we're working, this is not just a development, but it's a development within a TIF district. And when you're working within a TIF district, there are some very defined parameters.
I think you just pointed that out, very well, is that the point of the TIF and the point of the mechanism of the district, TIF district, is to encourage developers to come in and not have to pay those taxes or make those concessions. And unless there's an emotional connection to Mount Prospect with those developers, the developers are going to have two opportunities to, if they have two opportunities to build, one within a TIF district where they'll get some incentives, one in another place where they will not get incentives, they're going to choose to build a development where they're going to get the incentives. So if those, again, unless there's some other motivation, if the motivation is just for development, they're not going to develop and give up those concessions. We've already had the conversation before about impact fees, and the Village of Mount Prospect does not have impact fees, and the Village of Mount Prospect does not have any intention of instituting impact fees. So those are things that have been discussed, and at this point, there are no changes that are going to be made.
Yeah, I recognize that those are the realities. Mm-hmm. But we had many speakers come and say, it's not unusual for developers to provide, concessions. And
I think while that is true, I think there's a difference between development in a TIF district versus developments in general. In many cases, when developers are making concessions, they're not making concessions in TIF districts, which is the situation almost, well, I shouldn't say that. All of the developments that we're talking about are all developments in the TIF district. Mm-hmm. So that's why it is different than other developments in other areas.
And the TIF district already has a defined impact fee, or if you want to call it that, but it's a, it's a dollar amount per student that would come to the district, so that's already defined. That's what the developers are working with, and the village, it would be counterproductive for them to now go and change the rules on the developers.
I completely agree. I understand. I just think it's important that, at the very least, we could say to the public and the community that, yes, we address this with the village, because certainly we're not in any position to ask for concessions from anybody. It would be the village, because the village has to approve the project, and we discussed this with the village, and they listened politely, and we're not getting concessions, because obviously they're giving incentives to the developer to build. They're not going to turn around and say, hey, but wait a second here, we want you to give us off some money. But yeah. So I think it's just important to point out that we, you know, looked into it and discussed it, and we weren't successful.
All right. Any other comments on this? I'm sure we'll have many more opportunities to discuss this topic in the future. Then that was the community comments session, but I won't close it unless if there's still somebody that wants to comment. Okay. Then we're going to go on to new business, and we have one item. It's the fiscal year 20 preliminary staffing plan. This is the preliminary staffing plan for next school year. Dr. Allmiller.
The preliminary plan was brought forward to the board at the last board meeting. There have been two changes to the plan that you saw in February. The assistant principal, the second assistant principal position at Lincoln has been withdrawn, and we have reinstated the student service coordinator position. That's the only change to what you saw in February.
And then I'll just add the preliminary staffing plan looks exactly like the current staffing plan, except for two additional instructional assistants. Is that right?
That's right.
Any questions on this? Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion.
Could I just
yeah. Yes.
So I noticed that when looking at the change from the official staffing plan that was approved in September 2018 to the preliminary one that we're discussing tonight, there's a decrease of one FTE nurse at Fairview and an increase of one FTE certified nurse. Mm-hmm. So, oh, that was back in, yeah. The change was back in October, but I was just curious about the reason for.
It was simply that we hired a certified nurse. There was an ESP position filled with an RN, and when we hired a certified school nurse, so it was just a trade-off.
Okay, would someone like to make a motion?
Motion to approve fiscal year 20 preliminary staffing plan.
Second.
Yes.
Member McCluskey?
Yes.
Member Chung?
Yes.
Member Composto?
Yes.
President
Sonnenfeld? Yes. So we have a couple items for board discussion. The first is the Spring Community Forum. You saw in the board packet that Michael Cassidy requested pushing the discussion of the TIF off further. So, you know, that raises the issue of whether we want to even try to schedule a community forum in May. May's a very busy month. Or whether we want to try to do one in April on a different topic. But again, April's a busy. We already have three meetings in April. So I just want to kind of open the floor for discussion on this, get your thoughts and feedback. Jerry, thank you.
So I think I would still be open to the May timing, but if we could do it in the earlier part of the month, because it's true, as we get to the end of the school year, it's everything's on top of each other. So if it was in the first couple of weeks or maybe the first week and a half, that probably still makes sense, still a worthwhile activity at that point.
Joe, since we're going to have new board members at that time, would it make sense to do more of an informal type meeting where it's just meet the board, like the entire board, like more of a kind of a
chat session, listening session. I don't know if we're, you know, just from, we'll have two new board members, potentially three new board members, depending on how it ends up. I got to correct myself on that one. So however it is, I think it would be great for people to, like, meet those members and then just kind of just, I don't know, check in. Versus if we don't, unless you guys want to do it, I just think it's going to be really tight if Cassidy is already kind of wants to push that TIF conversation to be able to organize something in short notice like that.
Yeah, well, that brings up a good point. I mean, after April 25th, I'm not going to be on the board anymore, and neither is Dennis. So what you want to do in May, I'll have to pass that over to...
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
I might be on vacation.
Well, we could do your idea. We could continue with the TIF and give them one more chance to maybe get a meeting, and if nothing happens with it, I think in May, I think that ship has sailed in some ways. So do you have any ideas on what you might want to do?
So I guess I would still really like to hold a TIF forum. I feel like that's such a big topic that keeps coming up in the community over and over, and the you know, I mean, we just asked Mike Cassidy, but now we have the bonus of Bill Cooney and David Erb willing to come, too. So I feel like, if possible, if we could hold it in early May, that would be great to have it and maybe, you know, kind of answer some community questions and clear the air. I do like the idea of having sort of a meet the board listening session, but I wonder if we don't have a defined topic, would people come?
Right.
You know, I don't know.
No, we've tried to define topics before, and they still don't come.
So I'm not sure.
I kind of agree. I think it should be a more defined topic than just a meet and greet kind of, you know. I'm willing to move it to May, to the beginning of May, and see what dates we can pick and see what dates they might be available.
May 2nd is a tentative board meeting date, and I can tell you that there is no agenda forming at this point. So
okay, we can. I guess you want to do that May 2nd, see if they can work for,
sure.
All right. Put that date. Two dates? Okay.
You want
to do May 1st and May 2nd, the Wednesday or the Thursday?
Oh, wait. NSSCO might have something, right?
Oh, okay. Thank you. April 30th is a Tuesday, but they usually, the village has meetings. Yeah, so either Monday then, the 29th, or Thursday the 2nd. How are those work? Okay. Okay.
We'll go to Mike Cooney.
Thank you.
All right, and then the other topic for discussion is student recognition in board meetings. You know, Vicki brought, you know, up the suggestion that, you know, because since, you know, it's such a nice thing that they do at NSSCO, while we do recognition at our board meetings of student groups, would it be something the board would want to do at every meeting is to have, you know, to recognize, you know, some student for some reason? So again, I'm going to kind of let those who are likely to be on the next board discuss this. It's up to you guys.
So exactly what Joe said. I thought it would be great, and actually not just limited to District 57 students, but staff and teachers as well. So just at the beginning of every board meeting, if it's not too much trouble for administration, to identify either a student or a staff member or teacher, or, you know, maybe a few of each, to highlight them, to like highlight their, you know, accomplishments or their hard work. I'm sure there are so many, you know, so many good things that go on in our district, and maybe just a handful of people know, but if we can, you know, share it with the wider community and talk about, like, look at what this student has done, or look at what, you know, like, this teacher is doing. It can also, I'm not sure if you said this, but it can tie in with what we already do. So, for example, in November, we can still highlight the Lincoln track team. That could be November's. Or in the spring, we can highlight the robotics team.
We're certainly more than willing to put that together, as long as you'll let us do it the months of October through May, because we need to have a month to get the school year started in September. I've already talked to the principals about it, and they're going to set up a schedule, and we'll start it in May. Okay?
Oh, well, that sounds great.
Is everybody on board with that? Okay.
It's a nice way to start the meetings. Sure.
All right. Well, that's it for our regular agenda. We do have reason to meet in closed session for the purpose of the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the public body, and for student disciplinary cases. There will be no board action to take place following closed session. So can I have a motion to reconvene into closed session?
Motion to convene into closed session.
Excuse me, Vice President Kowalczyk?
Yes.
Member May?
Yes.
Member Mikulski?
Yes.
Member Chung?
Yes.
Member Compasto?
Yes.
Member Kobus?
Yes.
President Sonnenfeld?
Yes. Okay, we'll meet here in the